Hi, this is Kevin Clark. I'm associate editor here at AmericaMagazine.org. Speaking today with Dr. James Zoghbi. He's the president of the Arab American Institute and a well-known pollster. We're going to be talking about the really electrifying events coming out of Cairo and Alexandria and the rest of Egypt today as the Muslim Brotherhood's president, Mohamed Morsi, seeks to cling to power despite an ultimatum from the Egyptian military that pretty much expired this morning, I believe. Can you tell us, Dr. Zoghbi, what do you know, what's going on in the streets of Cairo as we speak?
Well, what you have is, on the one hand, probably the single largest political gathering in history. We've had about 4 million people in one place and probably 22 million, what I've heard, nationwide, who are demonstrating in one form or another. There's a substantial public display of dissatisfaction, disaffection from the Muslim Brotherhood.
Some of these protests have been larger than the ones that ousted Mubarak.
Yeah, they have been, and they've brought together many diverse components of Egyptian society, from Al-Azhar to the Coptic church leadership, from the Salafis, who were initially supporting the Brotherhood, to the secular and even in some cases very far left revolutionary parties, and now the military has also joined in saying this situation simply can't continue. It's a set of tough choices. I mean, nobody who believes in democracy likes to see military coups, but at the same time, what was going on here was a revolution that was being undercut in a very sensitive period of time by a party that was seizing more and more control of the reins of state and creating an irreversible situation where people felt there wasn't going to be another election, or if there were another election, that it was the way that the process was being developed, it was the deck was being stacked, and that the Brotherhood was literally writing itself into permanent governance, and that was what people have reacted to.
Now, do you have any idea? Now, I've read rumors across the internet that that some say President Morsi has already been removed from the country. Some say that he is under house arrest. And you referred to this as a military coup. Are you comfortable describing it as such?
That's what it looks like, and walks like a duck, talks like a duck. It's not what people wanted. I'm sure the military will find some other way to describe it, a corrective action or a balancing of forces. I mean, there's all kinds of euphemisms, but frankly, you had the military intervene in a situation in not the best of all possible outcomes here, but probably the only one that was left available to change direction, and one that was supported by literally millions of people who were asking for it. Now, look, the military is going to be on a short leash. They will not be able to establish an authoritarian regime like the one that existed during in the past, but. But people are looking to the military to bring together a coalition government, to bring together the responsible and diverse leadership of Egyptians to write a constitution that reflects the will of the people and the future of Egypt, not a constitution like the one that was written with the deck stacked by the Brotherhood and their legal department and wrote a constitution that was for them, by them, and of them. That's what people want, and they'll be watching the military to see if they do it, and if they don't, we'll probably have another upheaval.
So when you say the military is on a short leash, who is holding that leash? Is it a leash held in Washington, or is it held in Cairo by the people in the streets?
I think it's by the people in the street. I think this is unfortunate, but I think our government has somewhat dealt itself out of the equation. They have meandered, and no one... I mean, look, I was just in the Middle East a couple of weeks ago, and everywhere people were saying, why does the president support the Brotherhood? Everyone in Egypt believed that the United States supported the Brotherhood, even the Brotherhood. And today we're saying different things, But I think people are confused, they're confounded a bit as to where the United States really stands. So I don't think we have the control that people like to think we have. And that's why I wrote this book, Arab Voices, a few years back, and it was about the myths that Americans have about Arabs. And everywhere I'd go in the U.S., people would say to me, what's the myth Arabs have about us? And I'd say, first one is they think we're smart.
They think we're directing affairs, that
we never make a mistake because we know exactly what we're doing. And when they see what those of us who are here know are real blunders, like Iraq or like this meandering over Egypt, they're convinced that there's some grand design that actually does make sense, because America couldn't possibly be that dumb.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, but frankly, I think that, you know, we've been in a situation that, you know, as an old friend of mine used to say, we ain't never been here before, and they're trying to sort it out. But the Egyptian people right now aren't waiting to see what America says. The military is not waiting to see what America says. They're just doing what they know they need to do to get the country back on course.
And you think the military will not be tempted to sort of insert its own guy in there? It seems like they're coalescing around El Baradei to be the interim.
I think the Chief Justice of the Constitutional Court is being considered. Mm-hmm. I think you'll probably see a coalition effort. I don't think you'll see one guy.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. And I think you will see people from the Brotherhood or the Salafi movement also involved. You'll see a greater participation of Christians. You'll see the military make a conscious effort to create a balance in the way governance systems are structured. And if they don't, then there'll be a problem. But I think that, you know, we've got a very fragile situation on our hands right now, and I'm hoping that the people play their cards right and don't make big mistakes.
What would be the outcome of some big mistakes, do you think? The Brotherhood is threatening to defend the presidency.
That would
what
be a huge
mean?
Mistake. One wouldn't want to see an Algerian situation play out. The result of tens of thousands dying is it would be an enormous tragedy for Egypt and for the whole region. The military decided to itself to overreach and extend itself too far and stay too long. The other would be if some of the revolutionary folks on the left decide this isn't enough, and in Trotskyist type fashion decide to provoke a situation that becomes even more aggravates an already delicate situation that's unfolding. So I think everyone could make mistakes, and I only hope that they don't.
The military, according to your, now you did a poll in May, fortuitously, I guess, to gauge public sentiment about the course of the revolution and the legitimacy of the Morsi administration. About the only institution in Egypt that comes out looking okay, according to your poll, was the Egyptian military, virtually across the board, even among the Muslim.
Everybody, 90%+ rating. The other group, interestingly enough, that got very positive ratings was the judiciary.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the Muslim Brotherhood attacking the judiciary, still, from every single group in the country, every single subgroup, political group, high 50s, low 60% favorable rating for the judiciary. But the military numbers were through the roof.
Yeah.
Almost every group gave them over 90. But on the question of should the military take over, you had a split with the opposition groups and the groups that are, I call them the disaffected, the 40% of the population, in America we'd call them independents, the ones who don't support any party, the opposition parties or the Islamic parties, 60% of all of them saying they supported the military intervening, but 90%+ of the Brotherhood saying they opposed the military intervening. Look, I also think we have to understand where the Brotherhood is coming from. 80 years of history of being horrifically oppressed, of being beaten down and becoming a very secretive society. And so their paranoia gets the best of them. They had difficulty adapting to a more open environment. When they won the election, what they should have done was reached out to everybody else. And brought them in to create a consensus around the way the initial steps that were going to be taken. Instead of creating a consensus, they drew in on themselves and tried to consolidate and gain hold of all the reins of power. Big mistake.
And their idea, I guess, was that we have this opportunity, this historic opportunity. We can't let it slip through our fingers at the last minute here.
And by grabbing on too tight, they lost control. And that's what we're seeing play out.
What about the what is the situation of the Christian minority in the Coptic Church in Egypt now? Is this I know they've there's been a lot of uncertainty and anxiety regarding the Morsi presidency and the decisions it was making regarding their various political ministries. Is this the military stepping in? Is this just a great welcome moment for the Coptics?
I think it probably is. I just met yesterday with the Coptic clergy here in America. They were meeting with the bishop and talking about the the huge number of Coptic Christians coming into the States today, seeking asylum or seeking refuge in one form or another. The fear is very deep in Egypt. It's also very deep and probably even more so in Syria. I mean, many of these Coptic clergymen were raising the issue with me about Syria because it's on everyone. Anyone who cares about Christians, the historic Christian churches in the Middle East, has to be worried right now about what's taking place. And unfortunately, I find that, you know, going back to the Bush years, it's the least talked about issue in politics in America. I mean, those, you know, guys on the religious right who are saying we ought to bomb Syria and do this and do that, don't give a hoot about what's happening to the Christian church in Syria. And in Egypt, those who, you know, posture one way or another on democracy or on the military, again, don't realize that you have a huge Christian community, an ancient church that goes back, you know, to it's the Church of Mark. And it is being put under severe stress right now. And so I think, you know, attention needs to be paid to these folks because they are really frightened. And deservedly so. They have a right to be frightened.
Do you think they'll have a chance now to have a seat at the table in discussing the future of Egypt?
Well, from what I've heard and what I've seen, yes. You know, it's one of the issues that Egyptians talk about is what do we do to create this balance? And interestingly enough, you know, while Americans use dumb language like protecting the rights of minorities, Egyptians in the know talk about equal citizenship rights for all. This is not about your minority pat you on the head and we'll take care of you. It's about you are equal citizens of the state. That's the language we have to be using here. That's the language that enlightened Egyptians are using, and that's what we were hoping for in the Constitution. That's not what we got.
What does this say, the sort of the breakdown of the Egyptian revolution, what does this say about the whole Arab Spring? I mean, where are we going here? It just seems to be heading further into a ditch, a historical ditch, what started with such great hope.
Well, this could be a breath of hope, breath of fresh air, I mean. Look, revolutions are messy. If you like meat, you want a dictatorship because they're very predictable. And our own history here was pretty ugly. You know, 1776, it wasn't the second coming and everything was rosy and you know, everything fell into place. There were rebellions and revolts of different sorts that went on for decades after the Revolutionary War. The Shays Rebellion, the Whiskey Rebellions, etc. And so and we didn't end slavery until another 80 years, and women didn't get the right to vote, and labor didn't get the right to organize, and civil rights for all weren't. I mean, people can argue that our revolution is continuing here, but we want to judge other societies by a measure I think that's unfair. Egypt has gone through an upheaval. This process is continuing. I think that they're in a better place in terms of the capacity of the society to respond, and I think that that's how this is going to be viewed in the Arab world. It's going to be viewed as the second act. I've always argued that the revolution in Tunisia was like Connecticut. But Egypt is Broadway. And the question is, how does it play on the big stage? It ran into trouble in the first round, but it came back for a second act, and right now people, I think, are being inspired all over again. The question is, how does this conclude? And I think that it's going to be incumbent upon the military and on the civilian leadership in the country to get it right. Whether or not Egypt inspires or creates despair will depend upon how this act plays out.
Great. Well, we'll be looking forward to the revival of the Arab Spring, I guess, in the coming weeks as we see how the Egyptian military handles the very difficult negotiations of extricating the Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood and creating a coalition government.
And yet finding a place for the Muslim Brotherhood at the table, because you cannot have a victor-vanquished scenario. Everyone's got to be involved.
Yeah, because that'll lead to, as you say, the
right.
Algerian meltdown
right.
scenario. I've been speaking with Dr. James Zoghbi of the Arab American Institute. I'm Kevin Clark, associate editor here at America Magazine. Thanks for listening in.